So the scripture for today in Matthew begins with three words, in those days. And in those days means that we're going back to a particular time and place in history to talk about something. So in those days, for the first one we have about, in those days is where we have the happening of John the Baptist. But also there are two other scriptures that start with in those days. The first one is for John the Baptist, in those days. The second one is when Mary goes into the house of Zechariah and meets with Elizabeth, and the scripture begins, in those days. And that means it's a very important piece of scripture that the writer wants us to remember, that this was a significant time and place in history. And then the third one is in those days is when Quirinius makes the census and causes Mary and Joseph to go into Bethlehem. So in those days. So for this particular in those days for today, we're looking at the person of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was an in-your-face kind of person. He told you the way it was. He lived in the wilderness all his life. He lived in what's called the chalk fields, the chalk area of the Dead Sea area. There was nothing there. He subsisted on very little. He had just yuck stuff to wear. He wouldn't even want dueling yard sale stuff. It would be too good for him. That was who John the Baptist was. And during the time of John the Baptist, there were lots of John the Baptist types running all around. But there was something about this particular John the Baptist that drove people to see him. We believe that there were people that were 20 or 30 miles would come to hear the message of John the Baptist. So I got on my iPhone yesterday and I said, radius around City of Falls Church, 20 miles. And the best one I could come up with was Manassas. Imagine John the Baptist being in Falls Church, and people were willing to walk or ride their donkeys or whatever it was all the way from Manassas to Falls Church to hear this message of John the Baptist. And what was his message? The people needed help. They lived in chaotic lives. Things were bad for them politically. Let's join the crowd. Things were bad for them economically. Things were bad for them that the Romans were running everything. They had nothing to live for in their life. Nothing. Nothing. But there was something about John the Baptist's message of repentance that stayed with them and had meaning for them and gave them purpose to live. A message of repentance. Repentance. If you were a Jew during that time, in order to have true repentance, you would have to go all the way to Jerusalem, go to the temple there and offer money or animals or whatever it would be, and to be blessed by the rabbi, and then you could go home and everything's all done. But most people were poor. They couldn't afford to go to Jerusalem. They couldn't afford to give money. They couldn't afford to give animals. They were just poor. But John the Baptist says, you know, you can have repentance not through money, not through traveling to Jerusalem. You can have true repentance in your heart. In your heart is all that you need in your heart, but it must be true repentance. No conditions. It's like we'll say to somebody, if I've hurt you, I'm really sorry. The word if is a condition, friends, it ain't going to work. We say, well, I'm sorry, but you made me do this. No, ain't going to work. That's not true repentance. True repentance is when you have full forgiveness in your heart. And friends, it feels really good when you have full forgiveness in your heart, because then you can move on. You don't have any of that guilt and shame going on in your life. And also, repentance means that you turn around. That's what the word means. Repentance means to turn around. It means, I'm not going to do that sin again. What do we do with our lives? We kind of do something. We do it over and over and over and over and over. That saying sorry doesn't mean anything anymore. But repentance means turning over, turning a new leaf, starting over, not only with our friends and families and colleagues and people on the street, but with God. Because when we sin, when we do things that we should not be doing, we are sinning against God, and John the Baptist is telling us to get ourselves right with God and to turn toward God and say, God, I will not do that again. Repentance. We may think, well, are there any kind of John the Baptist types around in our lives? You know, Pastor Dave, he's not a John the Baptist judgmental kind of person. I look at people as John the Baptist that make me think twice. That when I see them or when I hear them, I think, wow, you know, that's making a difference in my life, and it helps me to turn my life back over to God where it should be. And you know, in the City of Falls Church, there are two people that remind me of John the Baptist, and they're both on the street on Broad Street. The first one is the guy that you'll see down near Liberty Barbecue. Seen this? Seen this? He does. This is his message. Does this? I decided to visit with him this week. So I kind of drove back and forth down Broad Street waiting for him to show up. And I finally found him on Thursday. He was out on the street corner doing this. So I drove my little silver Volvo into the Liberty parking lot and said, you know, don't give me a ticket. And he was out on the corner like this. And I said, good morning, I'm Pastor Dave from the Methodist Church down the street. And he said, good morning. He said, my name is Kyle. You know, it's nice for strangers in our midst to know that we may not quite understand. It's nice to know their name. This young man's name is Kyle. Say that with me together, Kyle. So Kyle is his name. And I said, Kyle, what is your message? What is your message, Kyle? And he told me, he said, you know, Dave, my life was a wreck. I was a drug addict. I was at the very bottom. But Jesus lifted me up. Jesus saved my soul, and I want others to know the good news of Jesus Christ. Who am I to condemn that? Who are we to condemn that message? We may not like the way he proclaims the message in your face, but that's what he's proclaiming. And I said, Kyle, so I said, you know, John the Baptist Sunday is coming up. And I said, you remind me of John the Baptist. And he said, well, people tell me that all the time. And I said, how do people treat you on this street corner here? He said, well, you know, some people have threatened my life. Some people have horrible things to say to me. You know, he said, it's not pleasant being out here on the street corner. And, you know, friends, I prayed with him right on the, I was in my leather coat, my little leather hat. And I said, well, Kyle, let's pray. And so we prayed, and we prayed for his ministry. We prayed for us here. And it was a holy moment. It was a holy moment. I don't know if it was for him, but it was for me as a pastor. I doubt there's not many pastors that have been to visit with him. And just hear his story. That's all I want to know, hear his story. So then I said to him, Kyle, you know the guy across from Harris Teeter. Do you know him? He said, yeah, his name is Marshall. I said, do you know much about Marshall? He said, well, he was at this spot. And when I came, he moved to another spot across the street. So if you know Harris Teeter, there's a African-American man, sits there in the cold, covers himself up with a blanket. So after I visited with Kyle, and I said, Kyle, I'm the guy that in the silver car that when you always waves at you. He says, okay, I'll remember you, Dave. So I got in my little car, and I drove down to Harris Teeter, parked in their parking lot, hoping that they wouldn't give me a ticket. And walked out front, and here was this man all covered up. And I said, Marshall, this is Pastor Dave from the Methodist Church down the street. And he pulled his blanket up and looked. And I just saw, you know, here was a dear man of God. And he said, Pastor Dave, my name is Marshall. And I said, well, Marshall, I just wanted you to know that we think about you at Doolin Church, and we're praying for you in the cold. Because I know that there have been some people who have been working to try and get him out of the cold, but he said, this has been my spot. He said, I've been doing this for 15 years, and I don't know what any of us are going to do. He's happy being in that spot. He's happy there. That's his home. That's his perch. But I said, you know, we're praying for you. And his eyes just lit up. I mean, here was a person that out in the cold felt all alone, lonely. And Jesus tells us to reach out to the least, the lost, and the lonely. Say that with me. Least, lost, lonely. All of us have had a time in our lives when we've been the least, when we've been the lost, when we've been the lonely. And we're called to reach out to folks. And so I prayed with him. And it was kind of funny. I prayed with him, and then he just took his thing and just put it right back over him again. He was happy in his place. But I thought, you know, I reached out like I've never done in 30 years. Maybe in 30 years you kind of get empowered. But I said, yeah, I'm going to do that. And to reach out to Kyle and reach out to Marshall. When I go down Broad Street now, I have a better feeling about them and about their message that they say to us. So I hope that when we go down Broad Street and we see Kyle on one side of the road and Marshall on the other side of the road, don't do this tunnel vision. Don't ignore them. Pray for them. That's all they ask for is prayer and some love, acceptance. That's all they want. But they do have a message, friends. A message that I'm probably too timid to do. I'm used to doing this inside of a room. And somebody's got to do it outside. And he's willing to do it. And Marshall's willing to do it. And thanks be to God. That's all I can say. Do I get an amen for that? Amen. So please, when you go down, don't judge. Do not judge. But love. That's what Jesus and that's what John the Baptist calls us to do. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we all say together, Amen. Amen.